Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The College Board unveiled a new scoring system for the SATs. They announced it yesterday about this adversity score. From your understanding, just tell us about it.
So I don't like to call it a score. I think it is a piece of information that helps us understand student scores. They're not going to change their actual score, but what it does is it provides an admissions office with some information about the context within which that student operates. So as a student, we know that they're influenced by their school opportunities, we know that their neighborhoods matter, and we know that their families matter. The adversity score, that they call it, lets us know whether or not that student has a significant number of risk factors associated with where they live and where they grow up and where they go to school. And so what I think is really helpful, but we sort of take these things into account anyways, informally. We know when a student attends a particular school. We know in an admissions office what the profile of that school is. But this now helps us say, well, how did that student do in relation to that adversity index, and how did they do relative to other students in their school, right? What would we expect an SAT score to look like there? And how did that student do? And why did they do that well or that poorly in relation to their peers, rather than thinking about how we compare them nationally? We've long recognized that it's been a poor comparison across school contexts because opportunities are so different. But if we see that a student really excels within an environment where challenges are great, it probably says to us something about their resourcefulness or their resilience or their ability to overcome obstacles in ways that others might not have. And for those of us in higher education, that suggests to us that they are likely to be successful once they get here.
So this, as was probably expected, was met with a lot of criticism and pushback, especially from people outside of the profession, more in the public sphere. It sounds like you think it's a helpful piece of information.
Yeah, I think it's one piece among many, right? So I think, unfortunately, we don't always know enough about how the admissions process works. It isn't simply grades and test scores, and that's all we consider. There's a lot more that goes into it. And this gives us an additional piece of information in what we've come to call holistic review. We now, particularly at colleges and universities that are selective, we know that they consider a variety of different factors in order to decide whether or not to admit a student. And it is always with an eye toward whether or not that student is likely to succeed at their institution and then go out and make a meaningful contribution. So knowing something more about their background to help us understand their scores just helps us make better decisions about who to admit to that incoming class. So I do. I think it's a good thing, and I don't think it's perfect. I think there's a lot more that can be done. There are others who will still advocate test optional, you know, get rid of the test entirely as a requirement and decide on other factors that are not related to that metric. I don't know that that's necessary. I think each piece gives an important part of the whole.
And that kind of leads me into my next question. There, from what I've been researching and reading, there have been many that suggest that the testing process of the SATs, ACTs, are inherently unfair, and they should probably do away with the testing process. Do you see a better way than these standardized tests, or do you think that these standardized tests help in the fact, like you're saying, as long as you just take them as a part of the puzzle, as opposed to this is who that person is?
Right. So I may be among a minority here, but I don't really think the test is really the problem. I think there are, on the margins, there are some problems with the cultural relevance, the questions that are asked and things like that. And that is a fair criticism. And SAT and College Board have worked to try to remedy some of that. But ultimately, the variation in those scores has more to do with students' schooling opportunity than it does with whether the test is culturally appropriate or reliable or valid. I think it is a measure that is meaningful, but it's not one that I would use to prevent students from attending our institution or even to judge whether or not they could be successful at a place like UB or any other.
Some have said that this actually doesn't go far enough. You have some who are totally against this kind of system, some that say it doesn't go far enough and that it doesn't incorporate race as one of the factors. Mm-hmm. What is your thought on that?
So I'm a proponent of affirmative action, race-based affirmative action. I think it's a piece of information that we should use. I was at the University of Michigan when they fought the Supreme Court cases to support the institution's use of in-ed admissions. And I believed in it then, and I continue to believe in it, largely because I work with students in Buffalo public schools, and most of the students I work with are students of color. And there is a racial component to the bias that they experience within our system that is independent of income. You know, I work with a lot of low-income students, but race still matters. And until we have to continue to acknowledge that race is an important part of the experience for many of our students, and that it matters in all of the opportunities that they have, including those in schooling. Until we get to a point where we all are really on an equal footing, we're going to have to take it into account.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I think this is a modest step in the right direction. They've been working on this for a while. They haven't gone into this blindly. They know the challenges, and I think it's going to be rolled out slowly. You know, you start with a couple of institutions. I think they said 150 by the time this next phase goes in. And I think the other thing that's important for people to remember, and this is just understanding how higher education works, only about 20 to 30% of our colleges and universities are sufficiently selective that this even matters. Okay. Community colleges don't look at SATs at all. And that's almost 50% of the students who attend undergraduate education in a given year are attending community colleges. Places like Buff State and Brockport and Fredonia use SAT, but it's a small part of a larger process. They are moderately selective, and it doesn't really even matter as much there. When you get to the more selective institutions, one most people think about, then, yeah, it matters. And then we have to think about what is the purpose of higher education? You know, is it really just to reward merit coming out of high school? If it is, then we're just going to recreate the inequality that exists. I think it's something bigger. I think we serve a public good, which is to prepare a future generation of civic engaged leaders who can create opportunities for others. And if that's our mission, then we have to be more intentional about who comes in than simply their grades and test scores.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.